The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When a believer denies Christ or goes astray, becomes apostate, what should be expected from God in response to this? Will it be judgment, punishment, discipline, a loss of rewards? We'll think about this today here on Grace in Focus. So glad that you've tuned in today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. You might also be interested in our videos, our YouTube videos. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you'll find them at the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Now, with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We have got, as always, a number of great questions sent in by our listeners. One of these is from a guy or a gal, can't tell, that we're just going to call Five.
Five.
Five. That's the way they start off their little email address. And it's dealing with the book of Hebrews. And specifically, I'm going to assume it's a he. He asks about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Now, he doesn't go into a lot of details, and his question is pretty short, but Hebrews 10:29 says this, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" And this, of course, is one of the warning passages in Hebrews, perhaps the strongest warning passage in Hebrews. And I don't know if Five heard us talk about it on the radio or maybe in some of our writings, but he asked the question, he says, how can this punishment here for the, and I think you agree with me, this is an apostate believer, this is a believer who's left the faith and is no longer meeting with believers because in the context of Hebrews, they're being persecuted, so they've given up on the faith.
Right.
He says, how can this punishment that God is saying is going to come upon this person be chastisement? And I think what Five means by that is this, well, let's use the word discipline, whatever it is that the author is describing, is it possible that this will be used to bring that believer back? Or is this all, and this is his words, retributive judgment? In other words, God's just saying, I'm just going to punish you here. I'm going to judge you.
Yeah, with no aim to bring the person to repentance.
Yeah, I think that's what Five is talking about, because he mentions the Greek word here for punishment, timoreus, which, and I looked it up in BDAG, the lexicon, and when it's used outside of the New Testament, there's an example where it says a person undergoes punishment, there is an angel of punishment, and so this is punishment, in his term, retributive judgment. In other words, we would say you're going to get spanked.
Okay, let's talk about the two different ways it's normally taken. Most people understand Hebrews 10:26-31 or Hebrews 10:29 to refer to hell, right?
Right.
That a person is going to be sent to Hades when they die, which is going to be very soon, and they're going to go to the lake of fire. That's the normal understanding. Your understanding, my understanding, the understanding that we have in the Grace New Testament commentary by Paul Tanner, Zane Hodges' understanding in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, is that this isn't talking about hell. This isn't talking about eternal condemnation. This is talking about a worse punishment than immediate physical death, right?
Which in the context, it talks about Moses. Those who set aside the law of Moses were put to death. And so he says this is a worse punishment for the believer who denies Christ.
And so in Hodges' view and Tanner and our view, what's involved here is something worse than immediate physical death, but not hell.
Exactly.
In other words, it could be lingering pain and suffering that goes on for years.
And it could include the loss of eternal rewards, which would be worse than death, right?
Well, I think more than could.
Yeah,
It will involve the loss of the rewards during this time in the far country. You're not laying up any rewards.
So when it comes to the loss of rewards, the person in the far country, the believer in the far country who's walked away from the Lord, the fate worse than death would include that, or it could include the idea that what's worse, to die physically or to lose eternal rewards?
Well, I suppose it would include it, but the thing is, it seems that what the author is talking about is some sort of calamity now.
Right.
He's not thinking specifically of the Bema here, the judgment seat of Christ, although that's probably in the back of his mind. That's a side impact. But when he talks about a punishment worse than death, that would seem to me to be something right now, just like the death is right now.
Sure, in the example of Moses in the Old Testament.
Right.
Right. I think what 5 is getting at is he may have heard me, you, or someone else say that, again, to go back to the way I originally formed the question, does he also have in the back of his mind that this could be a chastisement in the sense to get the believer to repent, that the punishment can also serve that purpose? And the reason I ask is, and I'm reading between the lines here, in Hebrews 6, the previous warning passage,
right,
there's the idea of the field being burned. Okay, what is the purpose of that burning? Well, obviously, that's going to be, to use 5's words, retributive judgment. You know, the Lord is righteously angry at the actions of this believer who's apostatized. But even in that illustration, the field is burned for what reason? In order for it to hopefully produce good fruit later.
Yeah, in fact, ultimately, what's burned is not... By field, we mean what's on top of the field.
The growth, the weeds, and the other things that are on there, the other things that the field has produced.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
So again, I'm trying to figure out the background of 5's question here. And he points out that the Greek word that is used here is for retributive punishment. So what he's saying is there's no chastisement here at all, is his point.
Well, possibly.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's what the author's saying. And by the way, you said he's talking about people who've already apostatized. I would say he's writing to people who, at least for the most part, are on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
They've not yet done this. Maybe some of them have. But it seems to me the way I understand the book. Now, you've written a book about it. So do you think these people that he's writing to have already trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant? They've already gone back to animal sacrifices? They've already abandoned their faith in Christ? Or do you think they're kind of wavering?
Well, I think it's both. He's writing,
okay.
Yeah, because earlier he says, do not forsake the gathering together, as is the custom of some. Some have already done this. So now, when he's writing these verses, does he also have those people in mind? In other words, you know these guys. They're no longer meeting with you all. They've left the church. What kind of punishment? And you're on the fence. You're on the fence and you're thinking of following.
Yeah.
There's example. Well, what do you think is going to happen to you if you do this?
Yeah.
And what do you think is going to happen to those who've already done it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, the question being asked is, if we wanted to make it much broader,
mm-hmm.
does God ever simply bring disaster in the life of a believer with no effort to bring them back, to cause them to repent?
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever happen? And I would say we can find lots of examples of that. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5.
They didn't get a chance.
Boom, you're
right,
dead.
Right.
Boom, you're dead.
Right.
How about Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, the two oldest sons of Aaron? They offer up strange fire. Boom, they both die. Fire comes from heaven and burns them up. They die right on the spot. there are examples like that. And maybe that's what 5 means by retributive judgment. I don't know. But I would agree with Hodges that all 5, and you, of course, that all 5 of the warning passages in Hebrews are situations where God does desire and holds out the possibility of repentance.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think you can look at some people and in the scriptures, as you said, say, well, they didn't have the opportunity to repent. So this is that their judgment was retributive, to use 5's word,
right.
Retributive judgment. But I know we've talked about this in some of our Zoom classes, and I haven't run this by you. I'm kind of curious to know what you think. I remember having Zane in class and him saying that the author of Hebrews leaves this vague. In other words, he doesn't say what God's going to do, and he just says, you're going to get punished. I'm using the word punished here. You're going to get punished. You're going to suffer loss.
But he does say it's worse.
Right. It's worse.
It's worse than this other thing.
Sure.
Which was death penalty.
Well, yeah, so here's my question for you, and this is expanding on the question. Do you think that it depends upon the individual? And here, let me give you a scenario. If Bob Wilka denies the faith, that's one thing. But what if a new believer who's been a believer for a week denies the faith? Do you think God is going to deal with Bob Wilka and that new believer in a different way? I say yes.
I do too.
And I think that helps explains the vagueness here. That, yeah, the retributive judgment's coming. But if you do it, sorry, Bob, you're going to die.
Right.
Or as a young believer, the Lord is going to be more patient, or the chastisement, if I'm understanding the question correctly. And so I think in some ways we can say, well, yeah, I think both are at play here, depending upon the situation. And that's why the author leaves it purposely vague.
Yeah, I would agree with you that there's a whole range of things God could bring into play, and they're going to depend on the person. And yeah, I feel very much that I could fall. I'm sure you do as well.
Sure.
As a result, I am very cautious about what I read and what I the thoughts I entertain. I have to interact with people who disagree with us, so I read those things. But I don't go out of my way to read atheists because that's not my ministry, right?
Mm-hmm. I think to conclude this question, what I would say to answer 5's question would be, yes, it is retributive judgment. I agree. But it's still, is there a chastisement? Is there a discipline element? And what I'm saying is, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be. That would be how I would answer that question.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you for the question, 5. And until next time, remember,
keep
grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, where does the Bible say that we must believe in Jesus for everlasting life? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.